Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Tonight, we have one eye on Colorado and the other on the skies off the California coast as the Artemis II crew returns from the moon. We will show you their splashdown live as it happens about 6-7 minutes from now. First, closer to home, Xcel Energy has power over customers who don't even have Xcel. The company's been fighting to build massive power lines through Elbert County as part of a statewide energy project. The county denied Xcel's permits. Xcel just got state regulators to overrule the decision. Our Marshall Zellinger explains why.
Coming soon to this stretch of Highway 86 in Elbert County, 140-foot-tall Xcel power lines.
Clearly, no one takes this job to make these sorts of decisions.
Colorado's Public Utilities Commission this week overruled the Elbert County commissioners, which denied Xcel's permits to build the power lines as part of the company's power pathway, which is supposed to get additional electricity from near Pueblo to the Denver metro area.
The state needs this specific transmission line to maintain reliability and resource adequacy in a timely and affordable way.
The Xcel power lines, just approved by the PUC, go through a part of Colorado that does not get Xcel energy.
None of the power is going to Elizabeth, Kiowa. This is all just a pass-through.
In October, Elbert County landowners like Julian Ellis walked us through what they were fighting against. Xcel had filed eminent domain lawsuits against more than a dozen residents for where the power lines would need to go, even though the county had denied the permits. In overturning that county denial, PUC Commissioner Tom Plant called out Xcel's actions.
It just doesn't seem like that's wrong and disrespectful to the people of the community.
Elbert County and residents we spoke with wanted Xcel to build the power lines farther east, away from residents and Highway 86. The PUC determined that would put the lines in areas with fewer roads and limited emergency response access. The county, residents, and fire protection districts had concerns about fire danger from the power lines. Xcel has committed to giving the County Office of Emergency Management access to Xcel's AI cameras that detect wildfire smoke. And even though Elbert County commissioners denied Xcel's permits, the PUC ordered Xcel to pay a $2.5 million impact fee that the county could have issued had it approved the permits.
As this project goes forward, I do hope the company treats the community with the respect and the understanding that they deserve.
And generosity.
Both Elbert County and Xcel are waiting for the PUC to put the decision in writing. Elbert County would not comment about a possible appeal until reviewing the decision. And in a statement, Xcel said it would address the $2.5 million impact fee once the written decision is out. El Paso County also denied Xcel's permits to build the power lines through that county. The PUC will make a decision on that later this month, but PUC staff in a written report will recommend overruling, just like you saw in Elbert County.
Marshall Zellinger, always holding power to account. Thank you. A company owned by the world's richest man is suing Colorado over a state law that regulates artificial intelligence. Colorado led the country in putting up guardrails on AI, despite concerns from tech companies and the state's techie governor. Our Spencer Soischer explains the new suit from Elon Musk's company.
When someone says something anti-Semitic or racist on the internet, you might say they have anti-Semitic and racist biases. Elon Musk's ex-AI chatbot, Grok, has had some issues with that. And now Musk's AI company, xAI, has issues with Colorado's first-in-the-nation AI regulation law, suing the state over its 2024 law that tries to address what happens when those types of biases come from AI.
I think that this bill is about transparency and accountability, just like other anti-discrimination statutes.
Democratic State Rep. Manny Rutinel, who's running for Congress, co-sponsored the 2024 law that would make companies liable for discrimination by their AI products and require them to notify customers when AI is used to make decisions in employment, finance, or healthcare. But in a lawsuit filed Thursday, xAI says Colorado's new law violates the First Amendment by restricting how developers design AI systems and speech on controversial public issues.
Free speech is fundamental to everything I believe in and has nothing to do with that. This is about corporate accountability.
Democratic Governor Jared Polis has had reservations about the bill since he signed it, calling for it to be changed over fears it would stall innovation and drive companies out of the state. Now he's calling for lawmakers to amend the law he signed.
And I think we passed a good law.
Brutinel, though, is on board with making changes.
And as more information comes in as to how AI technology is progressing, we need to make sure that we come to the table and continue to chat with stakeholders to update it.
Last month, a working group convened by Polis announced a policy framework for potential revisions to the law, but legislation on it hasn't been introduced. The governor's office declined to answer our questions today about if Polis agrees with the points made in the lawsuit. President Trump issued an executive order last year blocking states from enforcing their own regulations. Kyle.
Spencer Stoischer, thank you. History is going to be made in minutes as the four astronauts aboard the Artemis II return to Earth after 10 days in space, a trip around the moon that took them farther into space than any human has ever traveled. We are 90 seconds from splashdown in the Pacific off the coast of San Diego. The chutes have deployed as expected. NASA is in contact with the commander of the four astronauts aboard the Orion capsule as it comes down. There was a six-minute communications blackout as they re-entered Earth's atmosphere. But they have reestablished communication with the four astronauts on board. And at last check, they were 5,000 feet from the Pacific and closing. The folks who are out there, the USS John P. Murtha and other vessels, have a visual on the capsule as it heads toward the ocean. They will then go to retrieve the astronauts as soon as they land. They are right on schedule. Think about that. A trip to the moon and back, 690,000 miles, and they arrive on time. You can't do that across town with Google Maps, especially if you go Colorado Boulevard. So what they're going to do is as soon as they splash down, the folks from the USS John P. Murtha are going to head to the splashdown zone. There's going to be an inflatable raft that goes up to the side hatch there of Orion. And as soon as possible, they're going to try to bring that up on board to get them checked out by a flight surgeon. And then from there, they head back to shore. This has been a history-making mission. It's been 50 years since humans had been to the moon. And this, of course, is all to set up a boots-on-the-moon mission, a future Artemis mission. And the thought is that that will pave the way for a more permanent presence for humans on the moon. This was one of the most dangerous portions of the entire trip to the moon and back, this re-entry. This is where Artemis 1 ran into some trouble with its heat shield. The heat shield held, right? NASA is clear that the astronauts, if there had been astronauts on board Artemis 1, that they would have been okay. But they tweaked the way that it re-entered the atmosphere to try and better protect the four people on board as that craft saw temperatures of 5,000 degrees or better as it re-entered Earth's atmosphere, coming at an angle, bouncing back out for a second to cool down, and then coming back in. Of course, then the chutes come up. Each one of those chutes is about the size of a soccer field, like a soccer pitch. They're enormous chutes because it's a very heavy capsule that the astronauts are in. And everything that we have heard from NASA's end at this point is that things are playing out as expected and to the moment. And there it is. There is splashdown in the Pacific off San Diego for the crew of Artemis II to the moon and back, as no human has done in the last half century. Welcome home to Victor Glover and Reid Wiseman and Christina Koch and Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen, who have been in tight quarters for the last 10 days of their life, ever since they left Cape Canaveral there in Florida on their mission to circle the moon. They got a look at the far side of the moon, the dark side of the moon, that humans had never had before. Certainly 50 years ago, astronauts got a look, but not from the angle that the Artemis II crew had. So there you see the Orion capsule floating in the Pacific off of San Diego. It re-entered Earth's atmosphere around Hawaii and came in at an angle that took it closer and closer to shore and closer to the splashdown zone, where the U.S. Navy was waiting to retrieve those NASA astronauts and that one Canadian aboard. What a trip it was for them. That view of the moon from an angle that humans had never experienced. They got to witness an eclipse. Again, they went farther from Earth than any human has ever traveled into space. And to know that their mission is just the lead up to bigger and better things that NASA has planned in terms of a more long-range presence on the moon for humans. And it's a mission that a number of Coloradans have helped out with as well. We've been talking about that over the past week as well. The science of how water has accumulated on the moon over many millennia, and how astronauts in the future might be able to turn that into perhaps rocket fuel to fuel future missions. So there's so much to unpack about this and about Colorado's role in that mission. We are going to keep an eye on that NASA feed as the recovery crews approach the Orion capsule and reunite Artemis II's astronauts with the first humans that they have seen in 10 days. But so far, everything appears to be just as NASA planned it out. What an amazing feat of human ingenuity that they have pulled off. We'll stop back before this half hour is over. At our state capitol, human ingenuity is not exactly the phrase that comes to mind. Business in our state house is ground to a halt. It's a Republican maneuver to slow down legislation that they do not have the votes to stop. So Republicans forcing the $47 billion budget to be read aloud, line by line, by a robotic computer voice. It's going to take about 15 hours and go into the weekend.
The bill has been requested to be read at length. Can we continue the reading from where we left off last night?
Two services for the administration and provision of child welfare services, including the following estimated amounts.
15 hours of that. Riveting. So demanding that bills be read in full is a common stall tactic for the minority at the Capitol. But what Rep. Brandi Bradley from Douglas County is doing is something that has not been done with the budget in the past, which is colloquially called there at the Capitol the long bill, because it is the longest bill that they work on all year. This is the entire state budget. She wants this thing read aloud because she's protesting the House's handling of her ethics complaint against a fellow Republican, Ron Weinberg, for some allegedly nasty behavior. This bill reading started last night. It was suspended before midnight, continued again in the morning. It is still going on at the moment. The significant delay in House business means the Democrats who are in the majority might require the House to come back to pass the budget tomorrow. That wouldn't be that big of a deal, except that would force Republicans, including a candidate for governor, Scott Bottoms, to decide whether to stay in Denver and debate the state budget or go down to the state assembly in Pueblo. So there's a longtime nonprofit in Broomfield that works with our neighbors with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And one thing that they do, I think, is incredibly impressive. They help to prepare people to live independently. This week's Word of Thanks Microgiving campaign supports the nonprofit Friends of Broomfield. And here's why their mission is so vitally important these days. 24% of Coloradans with intellectual and developmental disabilities live with a caregiver who is age 65 or older. So these families are preparing for different living arrangements in the future. Friends of Broomfield is part of a new affordable housing complex called The Grove at Cottonwood, where they have units set aside for people with developmental disabilities. And Friends of Broomfield runs an independent living academy that teaches life skills to prepare people to live on their own for the first time in life. We can support that worthy goal. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you that link to donate. You have proven that even $5 helps when enough of us get involved, because that is how you have raised $18 million in microgiving for nonprofits across our state. 7,500 of you have signed up to become the backbone of this program with a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info one time, pick a donation amount. Each month, your donations automatically split among all the nonprofits that we feature. In a month like this, when there are five weekly campaigns, we expect to start off with about $40,000 per week. Like the crew on board Artemis II, we will return and we'll check back in on the closing moments of their mission next. The strange sensation Rockies fans are feeling today is hope. It's been a while, so you can understand if people were confused at first by the sensation. Because the owners of the Broncos, Greg and Kerry Penner, have now bought 40% of our Colorado Rockies. And while the Monforts are still the majority owner of the perennial doormat of the NL West, the Penners do not seem content to be losers at anything they do. Penners won't be involved in day-to-day management of the ball club. That'll still be for the Monforts. But the cash infusion from the Penners will allow the Rockies to retire all their debt and maybe spend some money on players to actually help them win. The Penners bought their stake in the team from other minority owners. The only minority owner to sell out completely in the deal was the Denver Post, which had some equity tied back to the old Rocky Mountain News days. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi splashed down in the Pacific for Artemis. A little splash down for some showers in the metro area.
We're supposed to have some here. I'm going to pull that up here in just a second, Kyle. We are looking at that potential for a few showers and a few more gusty showers here in the next little while. Give me a second while I go and pull up that radar imagery for you. But we are seeing some of those popcorn showers for us here over the next little while. And there you go. We're also talking about those lightning stats here because, of course, we just had that critical injury from the lightning fatality, last night. So, of course, the month of April is not one we typically associate with injuries or deaths with lightning here in Colorado. Colorado does rank number 3, unfortunately, for lightning fatalities here across the country. We are seeing some showers right now. Not a ton of lightning within these yet, but Boulder, we may see a pop-up lightning shower here in the next little while. Downtown Denver, things clearing, and in the next hour, we'll see things clear on up. Next few days, best chance for showers will be tomorrow, then we dry out for Sunday and Monday.
That's cool how they can get, like, guys all the way up there.
Successful trip to the dark side of the moon and back? Yeah, I would say that's good news. Our favorite Friday question, inspiring out of the world answers, next. All 4 Artemis II astronauts are okay. That is the word from NASA. Splashdown for the Orion capsule off the coast of San Diego. The recovery craft are approaching the capsule now, where the 4 astronauts are being held upright by these 5 airbags that deploy around the capsule to try and steady that craft in the waves. 50 years ago, the Apollo guys would get sick in their craft in the waves while they waited for recovery. Can you imagine that? Going to the moon, coming home, only to get sick on the equivalent of a claustro dinner cruise. We're going to keep an eye as they go out and grab the astronauts from Artemis in just a moment. With them coming home today, we had to take our favorite Friday question to Denver's Museum of Nature and Science, where the answer seemed pretty obvious today when we asked, what's your good news?
Hello, my name is Jose Zuniga. I'm an educator, performer, supervisor at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. And my good news of the day is that we are bringing some fantastic people home from an incredible journey.
3, 2.
Well, in Space Odyssey, here in the museum, we talk about all things space. We talk about people in space. We talk about machines in space. And speaking of people in space, we're super excited to welcome home the Artemis astronauts today.
My name is Lucas, and my good news of the day is we got to come here.
Space exploration is one of the most important human endeavors, I think, that we've ever undertaken as a species.
My good news of the day is that we got to come here and go on a field trip.
Our modern world is built in a lot of ways on the space program. Our interconnectedness through the internet, our development of things like water purification technologies.
I like the planets, like how they move and orbit and stuff.
Today is really incredible because bringing people back from the moon for the first time in more than 50 years, which is really our next step in human exploration of space.
Because they're going all the way around the world over the moon.
I mean, they've gone way further than the previous astronauts that went to the moon did, and we all have our eyes on Mars, we all have our eyes on the cosmos, and they are really leading us forward into the future.
That's cool how they can get guys all the way up there. It's terribly horrible.
That if thousands of humans can come together to create incredible machines that can transport people out into the cosmos and bring them home safely, then doing those same things can also help address some of the serious issues that we face now and in the future. It really gives me hope for how science and learning can bring people together.
How very cool. We got to watch Artemis II come home alongside some Girl Scouts. Thank you very much, Charlotte, Lindy, thank you. Your feedback is next. Brenda writes that she doesn't like the beard. Besides, you only grow it on vacation, which rubs it in about how many vacations you take. Brenda, only thing I love more in this job is my family, so I do take vacations. I'm a lucky guy. And if the biggest problem in your life is my beard or my vacations, sounds like you're pretty lucky too. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.